All right, we're going to learn about spiritual gifts. We're starting a new series today about spiritual gifts, and we thought maybe that would kind of whet your appetite a little bit and realize, okay, so what really are spiritual gifts? And we're going to start a series on that, and that's in conjunction with Deb is starting a course on spiritual gifts. And how to discover and to use your spiritual gifts. So that's starting this Tuesday at 7 o'clock here in the church. So if you haven't signed up for that yet, is it 7:30? Oh, how did I get that wrong? Okay, 7:30 this Tuesday here in the church. And so just to learn about what spiritual gifts are and to learn about what our own individual spiritual gifts are. And so if you want to learn more about that, come on out on Tuesday, even better. Let Deb know that you're planning to come so that she can kind of have an idea how many people to expect. So this morning, I'm going to start a series on doing a few messages on spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about what spiritual gifts are and how we use them in our lives. So this morning, we're going to read a passage from 1 Peter 4. And we're going to read the first 11 verses. I'm going to read that from the Message translation. And before we do that, let's ask God to lead us and guide us by His Holy Spirit. Dear God, thank you for being our God. Thank you for not only calling us to be your people of faith, but we thank you that we can also have the assurance that you have gifted each one of us. And maybe some of us don't really know what that means for us on a personal basis. And so, Lord God, as we start this series on spiritual gifts, we pray, Lord, that you will give us a clearer sense not only what spiritual gifts are and how we can know what they are for us personally, but we pray, Lord God, that you will show us through the leading of your Holy Spirit how we can use our gifts to enrich the body of Christ, your church, but also how we can use them within the community in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord God, as we listen to your word here this morning, give us open hearts, open minds, open ears. Help us, Lord, to hear you speaking to us here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you will use me as your servant to bring a message to your people here. I pray that you will empower me also through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, just speak to us here this morning. Speak to us how you want to use us as part of your kingdom purposes here in this world. And so we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Let's hear God's word then from 1 Peter chapter 4. Since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. Think of your suffering as a weaning from that old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way. Then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants instead of being tyrannized by what you want. You've already put in your time in that God-ignorant way of life, partying night after night, a drunken and proliferant life. Now it's time to be done with it for good. Of course, your old friends don't understand why you don't join in with the old gang anymore. But you don't have to give an account to them. They're the ones who are called on the carpet and before God himself. Listen to the message. It was preached to those believers who are now dead, and yet, even though they died, just as all people must, they will still get in on the life that God has given in Jesus. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so that all can get in on it. If words, let them be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything. Encores to the end of time. Oh, yes. And so far then, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, imagine going on a Caribbean cruise on a day like today. That would be a wonderful thought, wouldn't it? Anyway, you make all the arrangements and you get ready for that well-deserved break. And once you're on board the cruise ship, you find your cabin and you get yourself unpacked. And then you explore the ship for a while. And after that, you relax in one of those comfortable seats. And you look out the window. And you notice that you're soon approaching an island. And you look again. And suddenly you don't like what you're seeing. The cruise ship starts going off course and it's heading straight for the island. And everyone is suddenly thrown into a panic and people are running around. What's going on? Doesn't the crew know what they're doing? It kind of sounds like what happened a few years ago with a cruise ship in Italy. You might remember that, how it hit an island and tipped over. Anyway, on this cruise ship, some brave passengers finally decide to crash through the doors into the restricted crew's quarters, and they take control of the ship, and they, at the last minute, they steer it away from danger in the nick of time. And strangely, the crew is just sitting there with a no-care attitude as if nothing's wrong. They're simply tired of doing all the hard work and not getting any kind of appreciation for their efforts. And so they decided to quit. They decided to just let the ship go adrift. And maybe they think to themselves, maybe some people will notice and maybe somebody else will take up the slack. And if we crash, well, who cares? Let someone else take up the responsibility of running the ship for a while. There are some people who might view this as an apt description for the church. They feel the church is going about aimlessly and is ready to crash. And they point to the large segment of people in every church who pay the fare and merely go along for the ride. And then there's that small, overworked crew that rarely gets any acknowledgement for their work. And periodically, some of these members lose their enthusiasm, and they decide it's time for a break. Let someone else do the work for a while, and let whatever happens, let it happen. Now, thankfully, that's not the picture prescribed for the church in our text. The Apostle Peter paints a picture where each person within the church, how each person uses their God-given gifts for the purpose of building up Christ's church for God's glory and honor. And so as we begin this topic of spiritual gifts, we want to first of all consider who it is that gives us these gifts and who it is that receives these gifts. And though our text doesn't expressly say so, these gifts are given to us by God himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. And hence then the term spiritual gifts. Now take note that when the Bible uses the word spiritual gift in the original language, it has the same root as the word grace. And so these spiritual gifts that the Bible talks about, they're much more than just some kind of natural talents or some kind of natural quality that someone might have. These gifts, these spiritual gifts, are actually a special endowment of God's grace through the power of the Holy Spirit, and every true believer has at least one spiritual gift. As Peter says in verse 10, each one should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So who receives these spiritual gifts? Well, verse 10 is clear. Each person receives at least one spiritual gift. And the context of our text makes it clear what kind of person each one refers to. The first six verses of the passage that we just read together in 1 Peter 4, it lays out a clear distinction between those who are true believers and those who are non-believers. And Peter says that the true believer strives to live out God's will for their lives in response to God's gift of grace and salvation to us in Jesus. And knowing that this world will someday come to an end, the true believer strives to avoid the sinful ways of this world, says Peter, because Jesus will someday call us to account for every word and action in our lives. And even more important, Peter says that as true believers, we will strive to build up Christ's church, and we will strive to spread the good news of Jesus into this broken and sinful world that we live in. And that then is the context for the Apostle Peter declaring that each one of us is called to use our God-given spiritual gifts. Because Peter makes it clear that a spiritual gift is really a special privilege that's given to us by God Himself. And that's why it's important for us to take the time to discover what kind of gifts God has given to us in the first place. And also that we learn how God wants us to use those spiritual gifts for His purposes in this world. Peter makes it clear that these are gifts that are not to be ignored. These are not gifts that we simply hoard for ourselves. They need to be used for the benefit of others, not only within the church, but also for the benefit of others that we connect with in our lives. It's kind of like somewhat of receiving the gift of a box of chocolates. Now, these chocolates, they aren't intended to be hoarded by the person who receives them as much as we might be tempted to do so. The purpose of having a box of chocolates is really to share them with someone else. Right? Yes. And in that way, in that same way, we are called to use our God-given gifts to serve the people around us. God has made us stewards or administrators of our unique God-given spiritual gifts. Now, an administrator is a person who typically directs some kind of business or organization, or it's someone who's responsible for someone else's property. And then in that same way, the Bible makes it clear that we, as God's people, we are called to be administrators of God's grace in the lives of people around us. It's kind of like an agent representing a certain company or distributor. Each one of us is called to be an agent of God's grace in this world for the cause of Jesus. And that's not a privilege that we are to take lightly. We are faithful administrators of God's grace only when we open ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit to use the gifts that God has given us. It's kind of like with the limbs of our bodies. I never realized that until I broke my ankle a number of years ago, that if we don't use a certain limb for a while, then that limb becomes weak through inactivity. I'll never forget when the doctor took the cast off my leg. I said to the doctor, "So doctor, does that mean I can start walking now?" And he says, "Yeah, go ahead." And I couldn't even move my leg. It had just become like a useless limb because I hadn't used it for all of 6 weeks. And sometimes it takes hard work and it takes some therapy to regain the full use of a limb like that. Now, The Bible says that our spiritual gifts can also become inactive through a lack of use. And I think sometimes that's because we're not always ready to exert the time and the energy it takes to develop our spiritual gifts to the fullest. We'd rather just kind of limp along on crutches with the feeble excuse that we're just not able to do what others are doing so much better. There's people in every church who conclude that I think I'm just not gifted. I'm just not gifted like other people. And for some people, that might just be a lousy excuse for not wanting to get involved. But for others, I think sometimes it can be a genuine case of just not yet discovering the gifts that God has given to us in the first place. And if that's the case, then we need to realize that God calls us to do whatever it takes to discover or to develop our unique God-given spiritual gifts. So, what are some ways that we can actually use these spiritual gifts in our lives? In verse 11, the Apostle Peter provides two broad categories for spiritual gifts. He says there are gifts of speaking, but there are also gifts of serving. And verse 11 says, if you speak, you should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. In other words, we don't just speak our own opinions like that of of the editor of a newspaper. Instead, we do as 1 Peter 3 verse 15 suggests. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. In other words, God will give us opportunities to speak for Him, if we're open to be led by the Holy Spirit in that way. God will open doors for us to speak to other people about the hope that He has given to us through the teachings of His Word, assuming that we're willing to be used that way in the first place. And really, that's God's greatest desire for us as His people in this world, that we speak to others about the good news of His grace, His love, His salvation to us in Jesus. And we can do that with a neighbor. We can do that with someone that we work with. We can do that with a person that's struggling in some way, that we share with them the hope that we have in Jesus. We can pray for God to provide an opportunity for us to share some words of hope that we already experienced by faith in Jesus. We can speak about our hope in Jesus while visiting someone in the hospital. We can share about our hope in Jesus to someone who's depressed. We can share about our hope in Jesus to someone who's struggling within our own church family. Because there are so many people in our world today, in our community that we live in, who could use a word of hope in their lives. Now, I can just see some of you saying, yeah, but Pastor, I just don't have that gift of speaking. I just wouldn't know what to say in that kind of situation. Well, that doesn't mean that you don't have any spiritual gifts. Peter also mentions the gift of serving. God is always willing to use us to serve others in some humble way, in the name of Jesus. We can bring a meal to someone who's sick or someone who's feeling overwhelmed by the burdens of life. We can help out a neighbor with some repairs around the house, or on a day like today, we can even shovel their driveway or put some salt on their driveway. We can drive someone to an appointment when they're unable to drive for themselves. There are many ways that we can be used as volunteers within this community if we are willing to be used by God in that way. And sure, there are times when maybe we get tired of serving, tired of giving ourselves in that way. And of course, that happens sometimes when we barely get a thank you or an acknowledgement in return of our service. But Peter says in verse 11, if you serve, you should do it with the strength that God provides. In other words, we don't do it just for ourselves. We serve in the strength that God provides, even when we wonder sometimes why we keep doing it in the first place. And so what's important for us in our use of our spiritual gifts is that we always need to keep in mind the goal or the purpose of our God-given gifts in the first place. In verse 11, Peter calls us to use our gifts for this reason, so that in all things God might be praised through Jesus Christ. In other words, we can only be true administrators of or agents of God's grace when we serve in relationship with Jesus as He equips us with His Holy Spirit to extend His grace to others in both our words and our actions. We share the love that we experience in Jesus with other people who need to experience that same kind of love and grace in their lives. That we share the love of Jesus with people who need some word of assurance of forgiveness, who need the assurance of God's salvation that we as God's people already experience in our lives. God is honored and praised when we help people through our words and our actions to experience the reality of God and His grace to us in Jesus, who died on the cross to set us free from our selfishness and sin. And so the question then that needs to be asked is, do you want to be used by God in that way? Do you desire to be used as an agent of God's grace in the lives of other people around you? Will you actively seek out new ways to serve God in your life? Will you be open to actively develop the spiritual gifts that God has already given you? Well, that's what we plan to focus on in these next few weeks, both in our services and also in the spiritual gifts course that Deb will be starting this coming Tuesday. We're going to learn all about spiritual gifts and how God wants us to use them in our lives. I mean, think for a moment. Think how God must feel if we ignore the spiritual gifts that He gives us. I mean, how would you react if you gave someone a gift and they just totally ignore it? I mean, you wouldn't be very happy about that, would you? You would consider a lack of respect by that person. Well, God is no less disappointed if we're not open to using the God-given gifts that He has given to us. Consider a passage in the Bible in Matthew 25 where Jesus tells a parable where a man buries his talent in the ground and then has that talent taken away, and he actually ends up being shut out of God's heavenly kingdom. Jesus says that's what happens to those who refuse to use the talents that God has given them. And so for us to ignore our spiritual gifts is to say that God isn't all that important to us in our lives. That serving God and living for God, that's not all that important to us in our lives. That we really don't care enough to do what God wants us to do in our lives. Because God is honored and glorified when we use the spiritual gifts that He has given us. And that's why we're taking this time to focus on discovering our spiritual gifts. Because what that requires is that we have some time of reflection on the Bible's teachings about spiritual gifts. And that will include a process of identifying our God-given spiritual gifts, which is something that we'll be doing in the spiritual gifts course that's starting this coming Tuesday. We're going to help you to not only discover your spiritual gifts, but we're going to show you how we can use them more effectively in our lives. Now, I think sometimes we hear rumblings of dissatisfaction from certain segments within the church. Thankfully, I haven't heard too much of that in this church. But there are always people who feel overwhelmed, who sometimes complain, yeah, there's other people who just aren't pulling their weight. And they feel that it's always the same people who are expected to do everything and who always show up at every church function. And there are others who sometimes talk about not being happy about their life in the church. They just don't always feel connected to the church. And no doubt sometimes those complaints, maybe they're legitimate because, after all, no church is perfect. But the question that needs to be asked is, what will it take to change those kinds of unhealthy elements within the church? Well, first of all, we need to realize that we ourselves play a part of the church that we sometimes criticize. Peter reminds us that God has given each one of us spiritual gifts to be used to serve others within the body of his church. God calls each one of us to do our part to build up the church of Jesus. And that's a challenge for us, whether we're new to Maitland River Church or whether we've been here as a longtime member of this church. We're never too old and we're never too young to use our spiritual gifts. Our service to others brings new joy and new purpose in our lives. We will grow in our love and our respect for other people when we choose to serve them in the name of Jesus. And not only that, our sense of belonging within the church gets strengthened when we reach out to serve the people around us. We'll strive to build each other up in Christ instead of criticizing or gossiping about each other. And more important, it will strengthen our witness as a shining light for Jesus in this community when we all choose to do our part to build up the body of Christ Church. You see, God doesn't want his church to be a cruise ship where only a few people are doing the work and the rest as passengers merely going along for the ride. God calls us to be like a naval ship, where everyone has a job to do, where everyone is on the lookout for potential dangers. And God promises to equip us with his Holy Spirit as we strive to use our God-given gifts to serve each other for God's glory and God's honor. And so may God use us as we use our gifts for his purposes in that way. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your grace to us in Jesus. We thank you for the gift of your forgiveness and your love for us in Jesus. Lord, we know we don't deserve that. We know it's purely a gift from you. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have incorporated us into the body of your church. Again, we're not part of your church because we deserve that. It's purely a gift of your goodness and your love for us. Thank you, Lord God, also for the privilege of being able to serve you, for the ability to serve you using the gifts that you have given us. Thank you, Lord God, for assuring us that you will equip us with the gifts that we need to serve you in whatever situation that we find ourselves in. And so, Lord God, as we embark on this journey of not only discovering what our spiritual gifts are in a more concrete way, we pray, Lord God, that you will help us to be open, to see how you have gifted us in the first place, but that you will help us to be open to not only discover what those gifts are, but also to be willing to use them for your kingdom purposes. Lord, help us to be open to your Holy Spirit's leading in that way. And help us, Lord, to encourage each other in this process so that we can all together serve you as a body of Christ for your glory and honor. Lord, help us to be the kind of church where we all see see a way of chipping in through the work of building up your church. Help us, Lord, to see how we can all do our part to be used as a church that reaches out into this community with the good news of Jesus. Lord, that's how you are honored and glorified, when we are a light for you in this community. And so, Lord, help us to be open to be used by you in that way to your glory and honor, and so that people may come to know Jesus as Savior of their lives also. So we pray that in his name. Amen.